Hey guys, it's Stephanie Michelle. Welcome to the newest episode of Finding the Funny. This time, I talk with AJ Noland, which means conversations cover things like fear of sharks, foot fetishes, oh yeah, and we talk jokes. Hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, it's Stephanie Michelle. Welcome to Finding the Funny. I am here with AJ Noland.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing?
See, I am blessed and better than most.
Okay. You know, I'm doing good. So, what have you been doing with everything shut down?
Oh, man. I've been doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of porn, you know, a little bit of reading, a little bit of school, you know.
I like that you opened up with porn and then pulled back to reading and school. Like,
I mean, you know, it's just the way you throw it out there. Like, when you wake up, you got to get that extra one out there. You know what I mean? Just, that's how you wake up. And then you have a great day. You know, sometimes you're not always with your lady.
Okay. Oh, so not starring in, just watching.
You know, no. I say I can't star in the shit. I don't want everybody to see me like that. You know? Like,
okay. I thought that's what you meant. I thought you were like, I was like, COVID's not the time to get into porn. Like,
oh, hell no. See, no. That's crazy, though. That would be a trip. I might have to think about that. That could be a skit.
There you go. You know,
put the mask on, be hitting it from the back. Like, girl, are you okay? She start coughing. I'm like, you know?
Yeah, COVID porn. Well, I was just in Vegas with my dad, and we were driving, and we were laughing at the fact that the strip clubs are open, but the pictures
what?
All have, yeah, but they all have masks on. So their faces are covered, but their vaginas are free. So,
oh, wow.
Which, that was a whole conversation in the car with my dad, which was weird.
No COVID coochie. Okay, for sure.
I never thought I would hear the COVID coochie, and now that's a phrase in my life.
It just makes me think now. Like, like, were they just flapping away in there? Like,
oh. That?
I don't know. It was probably a lot in there.
I just pictured a vagina coughing. Like, I don't even know how that happens.
Oh, shit. Oh. I don't know, man. I think the smells is enough. You probably would have passed out since you walked up in there.
That's why now. Like, that's why you wear a mask. See,
that shit ain't gonna work for that.
Oh,
that shit like a fish market.
Oh God, we have very different lives, you and I. So, have you been doing any shows since COVID? Have you been doing any the Zoom shows, anything like that?
You know what? I did a couple of Zoom shows, which they turned out pretty awesome. It was a nice turnout, actually. I wish, you know, I had those crowds in real life, you know. 183 attendees. Shit, I wish I had did have
that
all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, man. My first Zoom show, that was how many people we had. The second one, we had 95. And then I did one of those pull-up comedies up in Riverside.
Okay.
Behind this barber shop with Sean Ross. You know him.
Okay.
Did one. He hosted the show. I believe it was Kevin, you know, the Marina comedy.
Kevin Davis.
That brother. Yeah. That brother. And this other brother named Al. Man, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
I am missing the stage so much.
Gotta get out there.
I know. I'm going to. But.
So, I mean, if I put something together, you gonna come on or what?
Yeah. I know. I got asked to do a show, but it's like the one day that I have to be out of town to go get my kids.
Oh, damn.
I'm like, really? So don't do it. I'll tell you a day later. Don't do it that day, and I'll be there.
All right, I promise I won't do it that day.
That day. Watch. Everybody does a show on that day. I'm be like, really? I'm going to be out of the state one day, and y'all do shows.
I got you. Don't trip. I'm planning away right now, though. It's going to be like a pull-up type comedy show.
Oh, God. I want so bad. I've been, like, trying to, like, look for venues and things like that to, like, be like, can we use your place to sit outside and everybody's 6 feet apart? It's crazy. But you also, you've run shows before all of this.
Right.
I love being on your shows. I always had so much fun at your shows.
Oh, man. Thank you. I mean, I love throwing them. Honestly, I like being a host.
You are a good host. I know whenever I would go out there, I got good food.
Yeah, my sister didn't throw that.
Yeah. I just remember I had an ex that I remember I left one of your shows and I had to go see him and I had some food and he's like, I never get booked on shows that give me food like this. And it's like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, man. I was like, I had fun. I had good drinks, good food, and got to see you. And so I always had a blast.
Man, if you would have stayed any longer, we could have got you a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Could have got you taken home with somebody.
Well, I mean, I left to go see the guy I was seeing at the time. So that probably would not have been good. Looking back, yeah, it probably would have been the better choice. Chocolate. I mean, looking back, better choices. Now I know.
It's all good. It's all good.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
About 2.5 years.
Really? I always think you've been doing it longer.
Nah, 2.5 years. 2.5 years, man.
So what made you start?
Honestly, just I knew people that were in the game, and then, like, I got curious, and I just started, you know, I'm naturally a class clown.
Yeah.
You know, I was that guy that I interrupted the class. I always had something outlandish to say, whether it was right or wrong, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, forget it. I'm just trying to see if I can bring this to an act. I like being in front of people. Yeah. I've always, you know, been in front of big crowds playing football and stuff like that, so I'm like, forget it. Let me just try and my peoples. You know, Rock Hills?
Yeah.
One night they do the Tuesdays, and you know, Michelle runs that. So I came up there one day, and I was like, hey, yeah, you know, you might probably get some time. And they was like, yeah. And that was it.
Do you remember what you said on that your first set?
Dude, I do. Oh, man. actually, I won't say one of them.
Okay.
I just won't because... yeah, I ain't trying to get somebody. Yeah, I ain't trying to... I have no communities coming to mess with me, but anyway.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I had some wild shit, but I mainly was talking about, oh, my God, oh, dude. I was talking about weed. One of my jokes was, you know, because that was when weed first came out. It was 2018 I started this. It was April 29th, 2018.
Oh, wow.
My first show. And it was my first show was with Deshaun Ross. That's some funny shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was Deshaun Ross. JT Turner?
Yeah.
Yeah, him. What's his name? David Alvarez.
Okay.
And who else? Kevin Wendell.
Okay. I just saw Kevin Wendell the other day.
Awesome. Awesome. He's a neighborhood brother. We grew up from the neighborhood, same neighborhood in Rubidoux. But, it was another brother too. Damn, Italian brother. I forget his name. But yeah, it was a crazy show, man. But one of my jokes was, I was like, everybody, you smoke weed? I was like, I asked the crowd if they smoke weed, and everybody's like, yeah. I was like, man, I love weed, man. I love weed, especially my indicas. You know, indicas is the greatest. I was like, but you know, I can't smoke with everybody, man. I can't smoke with everybody, especially niggas. You know, I was like, niggas, you know, they will smoke your weed and talk to you the whole damn time. You beaten read a damn book before you hit the blunt for the second time. I was like, but you gotta understand this. You can't smoke with white people either. You gotta be careful with your white friends because they start getting into some crazy shit. You know, start hitting the blunt, talking about, bro, hey, bro, let's go fucking cliff diving. And I'm like, man, fuck that bullshit. I ain't with that. You know what I mean? Brothers like swim. You know, Netflix and chill. Maybe fuck a little bit. You know. That was one of my jokes, man. I went in and the crowd went nuts and like people were like screaming, laughing. And I was like, whoa, that shocked the shit out of me. But the joke that I won't tell, even though it made the people laugh, it's just like, I couldn't say that shit today because people would be like, oh, you're a meme and
Do you offend crowds often?
Honestly, I think that's the only way I know I'm doing something. You know, like if I'm not out there making somebody like, oh my God, you know, or that's fucked up, or you know, but that's fucked up though, you know, I ain't doing my job.
Got it. I think that's funny because I always enjoy your shows. I enjoy I know we've been at the Ice House together.
Yeah, I love the Ice House.
I do too. Oh, that's such a fun room.
Yes, it is, man. That and the Comedy Store.
Oh, I love the Comedy. You know what's funny?
Man.
Is I go to the Ice House and I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to do this. And I feel pumped. I get to the Comedy Store and I am shaking. Like, my friend hit me in the arm and he's like, you're vibrating. And I was like, dude, I know. I'm like, I can't stop it. Like, I'm just a mess.
Wasn't you vibrating during your purse, though?
No, sure no, I left that in my other purse.
Oh, all right, girl. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I thought you was a freakadelic, you know? Freakadelic.
We'll talk about that later. But no, like that, yeah, that's like become the joke. It's like, for some reason, the Comedy Store, like I had great sets there.
But right.
I just am like all over the place.
I feel you. It's usually like that, like right before, and then you blow it, and then you kill the set. You know, it's like, man, that shit was killing.
No, I get off the stage there, and I'm still shaking my butt off. Like, it's bad.
I heard that. Shaking like a stripper in church, girl. I heard that.
If only. If only. But okay, so.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You are from Southern California, which I always find it interesting when I'm talking to comics that are from here versus the ones that are not from here.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact your family goes to your shows. How did your family feel about you getting into comedy?
You know, honestly, I believe my mom, like, my mom's my biggest supporter. Everybody that knows me, they know she is. But yeah. Honestly, I think my family kind of, they were shocked at first, but they low-key expected it. Like, they know, because, you know, I clown with my family, you know? I joke with my cousins, you know? Yeah. I once was the runt of the family, and I believe I got into comedy because I was that one that everybody clowned on. Like, oh, your big lips look like blah, blah, blah. You know, people flap my lips, you know what I mean? That's how my cousins were. They were ruthless. Your big Dumbo ears, nigga, you know, stuff like that. That's how they were.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, you know, I feel like it was natural. My family, they all came out, too.
I love your mom. Your mom is so sweet. Like, I remember even at the Ice House, I remember she's like, Stephanie, turn around. And I'm like, okay. Make sure. And so, like, it's interesting to me because I think I could not imagine doing this and not having family support at the end of the day.
It's different. It's different.
That's, yeah. So I'm like, I think because you're in the same boat, like, because I have family that shows up all the time. Not as much as your mom. Like, I think I've seen your mom at every single time a show that I've been with you on. But
yeah.
I think it's amazing. And she's usually right there louder than everybody else, and I love it. So how has it been? Because you had shows at Raquel's. Did you have shows anywhere else or just Raquel's?
No, the ones that I hosted?
Yeah, that you ran.
Yeah, I mainly hosted at Raquel's, and I hosted a couple of them at my house. But that was, you know, that big. So other than that, yeah, for sure, Raquel's.
So how was it running shows as well as being a comic?
Running shows, of course, you know, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking. If you're anything like me, I low-key can be, like, somewhat of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you look at that box out of five, I'm marking like three off the box, you know, if you, that's what it comes to. But, you know, but yeah, so I guess like the difference is, you know, when it comes down to, you know, I got to make sure I'm hosting it right. You know, I try to make sure I treat my comics like I want to be treated, you know.
Yeah.
I know how it is. We bust our ass when we travel, and a lot of these shows are for free, you know, even though we're working, we know that's the crap, we got to work. But, you know, I try to work on it. But other than that, you know, the only difference is a perception of just staying on my jokes, you know, outward of just, you know, making sure my company's taken care of and my jokes, you know. So It's just like taking one group off and just like, all right, cool. So I guess the focal point shift, you know, that's the only difference for me.
Got it. And then on top of doing all the comedy and the running shows, you also do a lot of skits that you put up on Instagram and YouTube also, right?
Right.
So where do you get all your ideas for your skits?
Oh, my God. My memory and my mind is freaking, it's abroad. You know, I would think about daily life events from looking at a graham cracker falling to the floor and seeing somebody slip and bust their ass. You know what I mean? Like, damn, the sound of that graham cracker and looking at your grandma bust her ass is just the satisfaction, the odd satisfaction. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like you notice, like, you get those oddly satisfaction things where people are, like, cutting butter or cutting, like, things evenly. Like, I get that craving. And it's like that. Like, when somebody busts their ass, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good day. You know, it's going to be a good day. You know, I know it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
But... nah, I'm just wild. Like, I think about random things, and most of them are life events.
Got it. I always enjoy watching your skits. Like, you know, I love watching your skits. And I was explaining, because I was telling you about that whole little film festival, and I was trying to explain your humor.
Yeah.
And the one that popped out in my head is one you're ordering. I want to say it's a sandwich. And you're just talking to the guy, and because I remember at one point he goes, "An add mayo," and you're like, "Yeah," and he goes, "So make it racist." And I just the faces yeah. you're making, and I was just dying for some reason. Yeah. Like that skit makes me laugh so hard. Like I'll actually go and like when I was in there having a grumpy mood. Just so you know, I was having a grumpy mood the other day, and I went and I found your skit just to watch it because it makes me laugh.
That's some shit. That's what's up, man.
So thank you for making me laugh. Do you think this is purely me asking because I can't do it. Because I don't do skits because I think I'm too self-conscious. Like, it's just, I can only be myself and I freak out when I'm doing other things.
Yeah.
But how is that when you're kind of like switching into different things? Because besides doing comedy.
I like being other people.
You do?
Yeah, I think that's interesting as hell. Like, I wish, I pray for that. Like, that's the ultimate goal. It's like, you know, for somebody to pick me up for a movie role. Because I believe, me personally, I'm that committed person. Like, yeah. I would do stuff like Will Smith. You know, like, let's just say I had to portray, you know, a guy that was poor. I would physically live in the streets, you know, just to see what that life is like. You know, I'm that type of person. So
yeah,
I like taking on different other identities. I don't know, I should sound crazy as hell though.
No,
I ain't crazy though.
You would be like the method actor then.
Yeah, I can honestly say, all right, RIP to this man. I love him. You know, RIP to this man, Paul Walker. Do you think he was a good actor? Do you think he's a good actor? For his time.
For the movies he did, yes.
Okay.
But he picked, I think he picked characters that fit him.
Right, right.
He didn't pick roles that would put, like, were you saying, like, Will Smith? Like, I think he fits the roles versus finding roles that fit him.
Right, right.
So wait, what is your opinion on
that? I kind of get what you mean. I just look at it more as in, do you see how they take on the character?
Yeah.
And I feel like even in roles that people are comfortable with, like even like in the Tom Cruise's, the, you know, let's just name a few because that's amazing people too. Like I don't feel like people commit to the role. Like they don't make you feel it. I mean, look at, who's another guy I really like? Look at Ryan Gosling. Like, shit, you think about movies like The Notebook, that shit make you cry.
Yeah.
Like that's real acting.
Yeah. Like, I think there's a difference between, like the guys that there's a difference between actors and then the ones that become their role. And.
Yeah. We know the basic people, the Denzels and Will Smiths, that's the big guys, but I like to talk about the underdogs, like I mentioned.
No. Okay. So, you want to do acting and comedy and the skit. Like, I was explaining, like, I could see you doing, like, have you ever done improv?
What do you mean?
Have you done, like improv? Just... Like, no, there's, like, like, groundlings or things like that. Like, are, like, have you seen, like, any of those improv trips? I think you'd be so good at it, personally.
No, I haven't, but I would, shit. I mean, I never actually even really got into that besides, you know, the stage comedy stuff. That's about it.
Because it's like, I know, because I've talked to some comics that started in improv or go over there and kind of do things like that. But like improv is like that when there's like a team of five people and they go on stage together and they find out what they're acting in that moment. And they have to just, and so I'm like, just because you're somebody who does commit to the role once you're in it, I could see you doing it.
Oh yeah, well shit, that's just like, just jump into the role.
Yeah.
You're automatic.
Yeah.
Oh hell yeah, I love that. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to talk and get you some places to talk to for that one.
Man, I honestly, I've been looking around. I'm even on, what's that damn? I'm on these, what is that, Backstage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You would think, like, I try to get roles on there as hard as hell, especially being a bald-headed black guy. That shit don't work no more. They're like, do you have hair? And it's like, nah, motherfucking shit.
You're like, but I can get a lace front.
Yeah, I can get a lace. I can get lace.
See?
I'm opposed to that.
There, I got you covered, man. We'll get you.
They
come
me.
Up. There's ads. There's ads on Facebook for lace fronts on a regular. Like, we'll get you some real pretty.
I'm sad, man. I'm not the foodies people or something.
No. So, okay. What are you going to school for? Because you said you're going to school.
Yeah. I'm going to school for organizational leadership and management. So,
where does that fit into your life?
Honestly, that's just the organizing and just the planning. I want to be proficient in that. Like I said, I love hosting. And
yeah.
I feel ultimately, you know, other things that I got going on in my life, that's going to be perfect for it. You know, so, you know, like I do right now, I do motivational speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done that in a while since the schools have shut down.
Yes.
But when they do return, I will be going back to the schools and doing the motivational speaking. So a lot of that is just the strategic planning and all that has everything to do with that. But ultimate goal, yeah, business. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to get my master's in business.
That's awesome. How did you get into motivational speaking?
Oh, man, I love kids. And I feel that the main resource that people lack in life is motivation. And people don't know where to find that. And I feel like in the youth, especially, because kids are battered at a young age. That's where their mind is developing.
Yeah.
You know, that is where their mind is developing. So whatever they're learning in those moments, that's you know, that's pertinent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's stuff that's going to stay in their mind forever and going to help develop who they are when they're 13 or 14. So, you know, just coming from a place that I didn't really have a lot of people in my life, you know,
mm-hmm.
my actual real father wasn't in my life. My stepdad stepped in when I was one and he did the best he could, you know, but just know he learning as a man that, okay, that's not your dad. So that's why you guys think different, you know?
Yeah.
So going through that and life struggles. Yeah. That's what made me get into it.
So, okay, if you were – motivate me. What would you tell me if you were trying to motivate me to do something? I'm just curious.
What you going through? I mean, I got to know what you're – a little bit of what you're going through. I got to know some sadness, what you trying to get to. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to get my podcast to keep going forward. But that's what I have working right now.
Because you don't feel defeated at all. I got you.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know what I mean? I mean, what I would do to motivate you, I would speak to you – because motivation is a give and take thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, in response of, like, what part of my teaching is, I talk to the kids. So, if I would ask you something like, what's some real things that's bothering you?
Okay. Right now. Okay, what's bothering
you?
Yeah. I don't know. Just trying to figure out how to live life, like, right now with everything being closed. I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay. My continuous motivation in life, honestly, is my philosophy is every day is a blessed day if you think that way.
Okay.
Nobody can control what you want in life besides you.
All right.
Your greatest enemy is yourself. And if there's no enemy within yourself, there's no the enemy outside can't do anything to touch you. That's how I am. You know what I mean?
I like
and
that.
And I'll continue to produce that.
I like that. Yeah, I think my motto is usually like silver linings. Like I keep joking around, like anytime something happens, like, silver linings. You know what? It doesn't matter what cloud comes along. There's always some light behind it that you're gonna be able to find something good.
Yeah.
So that's.
I mean,
that's
shit
my
for
goal.
Kids, it's easy.
Yeah. Well, it's like so you work with younger kids then usually.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working with young kids mainly from the ages of like. Second grade, I'll say, so 8 to like middle school ages, 12,
okay.
13.
Got it.
I haven't hit high school yet. I'm waiting to get that.
Because I'm with middle schoolers all the time. And they can be a pretty moody group.
They're the worst.
I love them.
They're the ones
them.
With the biggest attitudes. So motivating them is a task.
I love middle school. I think, like, yeah, they have attitude walking in the door. But what I do with them, it's more of, like, you guys are just figuring out who you are. Like, I get to be lucky enough to be with you when you're figuring out who you are. So use me as a resource. because I grow as you guys grow. And so it's become a very, like, I tell them, it's like, it's as much me changing as you guys are changing. So let's do this together and not right. fight the whole way through it, because it'll just be better for everybody. And right. it's like you said, it's a very give and take thing. And I love that you do that. That's so awesome.
And yeah, then, that's pretty cool, man. That's cool, man.
What's the goal with business then? Is it just to like to run your shows and productions and things like that, or?
Oh, man, you know, I got a lot of things behind closed doors. Okay. Kiss and tell though. You just.
I like how this started. I'm an open book. I got closed doors.
Hey, that I'm open book. It's just, you know, I'm giving you details. I can't give you everything now. Come on now.
No, I'm giving you a hard time.
I dibble and dabble.
So okay, how has maintaining a personal life in comedy gone? Like, do you do the whole dating and comedy thing? And I mean, not dating comics, I wouldn't recommend that, but like have maintaining a personal life.
Why wouldn't you recommend that? I'm curious as hell now. Girl, would you ooh,
have you seen my you know one of my exes? Are you really
I do.
You do?
No, I've seen you with a few dudes. Don't play me.
Actually dating though? No.
I don't know what you're doing. I ain't judging. I just said I seen you with a few dudes on the phone.
No, there's always, come on. I always have somebody with me, but yeah, I dated a comic.
I had a, wait a minute. Nah, I think I'm wrong about the one that you dated now. But yeah, we ain't got to get into that right now.
We're going to talk about that after. No, it's funny because I've had, like, people have assumed that I've dated or slept with a lot more comics than I have. And I'm
oh, hell no. I hope not.
No. Because I've heard them, they're like, oh, you didn't hook up with that guy? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, really? And I was like, motherfuckers, they're out there saying I'm doing that shit. I'd be so mad. Oh,
damn. They think you're out here schlumming it. Hey, it's all good, though.
No, I did schlum it, if you know who it was.
I don't.
You do. I know for a fact, but I'm going to tell you.
Huh?
No, everybody knew.
Shit, who's everybody? You act like I'm part of the crew.
Some of the ones I know you film with sometimes, I know they know, because they give me a hard time about it.
Yeah, I don't be in nobody's business. Girl. Hey, I'm gonna keep it all the way 1,000 with you. I don't know. I have speculations.
Okay, I'm so excited to hear these speculations off.
Well, I'm not saying this.
No, not now. Not now. No.
Okay.
I'm not gonna.
Stepping crazy, you know. I got you.
No, I did slum it though. Let's just put it that way.
But no, as far as yeah, I do date. You know, I'm dating someone right now.
Aww. How is that with comedy?
It's not really hard. I'm a very, when it comes to that, I'm a very disciplined person. You know, I've gotten to that age. I think I'm at that age now. You know, I'm about to be 34 in September. Aww. You know, September 12th. So, you know, I believe now I'm just at that age where now I know what I want. So as far as playing games, it's not one of those situations where it's like, okay, I know girls is out there. I know women are going to be out there forever. But,
yeah,
you know, when you got something that's solid, you know, you kind of start to be committed. If not, then don't do it. What's the point?
No, I love that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I don't believe in that bullshit cheating. Like, if you're going to cheat, bro, just get out the relationship. Leave.
If anything comes out of this, that is the thing I want out there.
But man, like, I never understood that. And, like, and I'm not trying to sit over here like I'm the golden guy. Oh, he's the greatest guy ever. Yeah, I've done that. But just honestly, that was, like, the one time I'll never do that shit again. Like, that's stupid. What's the point of being in a relationship if you know you can have many, or if that's what you want to do? Get the fuck out. Spare the heart.
Got it.
You know, that's how I look at it.
Perfect. So you sent me a couple jokes.
Right.
And I kind of want to talk about them a little bit.
Oh, shit.
The first joke. The first joke you sent is about feet.
That's crazy, man. It was wild. But look, man, I know it's getting hot out here. I know it's getting hot. Summertime is coming. So I know the sundresses is coming out. Women's going to shut their toes. But you can't be showing your toes if you got daggers on your feet. Like, I'm serious, man. Like, how the fuck you got daggers on your feet looking like you can snatch salmon going upstream and shit? Like, I don't get that shit.
But you're like,
you gotta let it toes.
I think it's so, and you put up pictures of feet on your Instagram occasion, or when they're nasty feet.
Oh yeah, some ugly shit. Like they are ugly. I can't do it. Like, oh my god.
So you really do have a foot thing going on then.
Oh my goodness, it's like Boomerang, except for I'm worse. There's no way chicks gonna get in my fucking bed with ugly feet. There's no way. I'm gonna see them shits before you touch my bed. See, in Boomerang, if you don't know anything about Boomerang, that's Eddie Murphy. You know, Halle Berry was in there.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, that was a big, big movie, 93, I believe. But
okay.
His thing was feet. You know, he checked out chicks, and they could be fine as wine, and that's how I am. You could be fine as wine. But if you got jacked up feet, oh, Lord. Can't do it, man.
So if you're talking to a girl and she has, like, a thing where she doesn't want her feet touched, you can't do it then.
Oh, that bugs the shit out of me. Oh, that bugs the hell out of me. Like especially if they're pretty, mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to bug me. But if they're ugly, it's like, girl, I don't plan on being with you anyway. Okay.
See, AJ, we can never have a relationship. I can't handle my feet being touched. Just so we're on the same page. I love you to death. You come near my feet, I will like you. It's so funny because like I'll be like jump over a table to get away from somebody.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
It's so bad.
Feet. Oh man, what like, they look like? You got bear claws?
No, actually, I have very pretty feet.
You know, they always say that.
I'm gonna have to show you. I don't want to show you because I don't like feet, but. No, like I have small, like they're small. Like, okay, I wear a size 6 and a half. I can
tell by your hands what your feet look like. Yeah.
Okay, I'm like.
I can tell by your hands what your feet look like.
I don't know, is that good or bad? Are my feet bad now? Or?
Nah, you don't have ugly feet. I think I've seen your feet before, but nah, I can tell what you.
I wear sandals and stuff like that, and I've gone and gotten pedicure, like I get pedicures and stuff like that, but like I have to like emotionally prepare myself that somebody's gonna be up in my feet. And like I remember I was talking to somebody and I had my like legs on theirs and they're like they had their hand like over my feet and I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm not gonna freak out. I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna take it. I love that how much you're like physically laughing at me right now.
She was serious. She's okay.
You don't it's so like and I yeah, I think it's so funny because people are like, do you have pretty feet? And I'm like, they're in my tennis shoes, yeah. But, like, no, I left boot camp and I didn't have calluses because a lot of girls leave with calluses and they're like, I'm going to go get a pedicure.
Oh, shit.
Nope, none. They stayed smooth still. Like, so I'm well, like, I'm happy. They look pretty. You can admire them from a distance, though. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. But I love your, like, the whole, like, you use the imagery of somebody using them to catch salmon in the river, man, and it just causes me to think of really pretty girls with, like, fish hanging off their feet.
Oh,
like,
just them claws, you know. it's scary for life. Oh, Lord.
So you could have the hottest girl, and if her feet are nasty, it's a done.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Like you know, it was a woman that's really gorgeous that you can think of. Like, I know, like, I have, like, a weird fetish to the point, like, and because of women that I've seen in real life, I'm like, all right, I wonder what their feet look like. You know, and I'll look, you know, I'll fucking Google, like, what the hell does it look like? And there's so many celebrities' feet on the internet, and you'd be like, what the fuck? They really take photos.
I'm trying to think, you just put somebody up the other day, and I don't even understand. It was like Jessica Simpson, I think.
Oh man, yeah, Jessica Simpson. Yes.
I was like looking at it and her toes were like touching the floor over her heels. Yes. And I'm like, all I'm thinking is that she's gonna do something and like step on her own toe.
Damn that, she picking some shit up as she walking. That's what she doing.
I think her toes were as long as my fingers. It was bad.
Man, her pinky toe was dead. Do you see how that shit was suffering between the strap and that fourth toe?
I only quickly glanced at the picture because I don't like feet. But it was that quick glance was enough for me to be like, that's some fucked up shit. Like, keep scrolling. So wait, does girl that's not very attractive, does she get prettier if she has pretty feet?
Yes. That's the funny part with me. Like, it's so odd. Like, I'm not lying. Like, I've dated a chick that wasn't all that hot, but she was decent. You know, she's a cutie. Like, other people's like, oh, she's a cutie. You know, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
But she has some gorgeous ass feet. And I was just like, whew. She had pretty ass feet, though.
This is the first time that I think a fetish has been brought up in my podcast. And I love it. I think it needs to happen more often.
Oh, man. Guys and fetishes or comics and fetishes. There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Comics and fetishes. It's a real thing, man. And I think it's just not just me. It's a lot of brothers like me, but I believe I'm like a footologist. Like, I'm very scrutiny. Like, I critique like a motherfucker, and I feel like sometimes it can be bad.
Okay, I don't want you to see my feet anymore because I don't want it to change how you look at me as a person. Even though
that I get this reaction so much. Hey, Steph, I'm not gonna tell you any lies. It's no bullshit. Okay. In high school. Because I have a lot of female friends that I knew. They're good friends, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I was kind of popular in high school. But anyways, females knew that was my fetish.
Okay.
Because, you know, girls that I dated are people that I knew. Or I'd make compliments. Like, oh, you got pretty feet. And they're like, oh, my God, don't look. You know, shit like that.
Right? Uh-huh.
So, like, during high school, I swear, every day, it was chicks that used to kick it by my other football player's table. You know? Mm-hmm. And as I would walk by, if these girls had sandals on, and their toes weren't done, they were running to try to hide them.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear to God. Like, oh, my God, Anthony. And I swear, one day, Steph, this shit, I bullshit you not, it was crowded and packed out. We had a DJ playing everything. I think it was a pep squad or a prep rally.
Okay.
I was coming by, had my jersey on, was coming by. All the girls were standing there. I guess apparently none of them had their feet done. It was like seven of them standing on the wall, and they all had sandals on. As I'm walking by, one of them was like, oh, my God, AJ, oh, my God, no, don't look at my feet. As she went, she hit the other one hit the other one, and they all domino effect and fell down the wall. That shit had me like, yo, are you guys serious? Like, I wasn't even fucking looking. Now I want to see.
That's hilarious.
What you got?
Okay, I don't wear sandals unless my toes are done.
Oh, that's good.
Just because it's a weird thing in my head. Like, I'm like, that's me being put together.
I feel you.
Like, that's in my sandals, toes need to be at least completely painted or completely bare. Like, they're not that paint peeling.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like some girls just don't care, man, you know?
It's funny, is I don't care about so many things.
Oh, shit.
But that's one of those things that's in my head. I'm like, no.
Gotta take care of the toes, man. Toes are important. Hey, pretty toes matter, okay?
Okay.
Pretty toes matter.
So things we've learned. Don't cheat and pretty toes matter. There we go.
Oh, yes, they do.
All right.
Yes, they do.
You also joke around a lot about not growing up you say you don't have a thug bone in your body.
But man, the world's getting even worse, man. I know y'all look at me like, oh, he's a black guy, probably born in the hood. I wasn't though. I don't have a thug bone in my motherfucking body. I'm serious. I wasn't raised in the hood. I was raised with y'all. You know? I don't play that shit like... Yes, I don't.
And I love it because you did this at the Ice House when you're like, I didn't grow up in like, I think you said the hood, but you go like, yeah. I grew up with y'all. And in Pasadena, yeah. It's so funny.
I grew up in very, like, suburban areas. You know, I didn't grow up in very, you know, I won't say poverty because it was still poor as hell, but it was poor fucking white folks and Hispanics, you know.
Got it.
We were more middle class poor, you know, so.
You were the upside of the low end?
Yeah, it was different.
Okay.
It was different. It wasn't a lot of, I won't say rich people until I got older.
How do you think that plays into your comedy, though?
Huh?
Do you think that plays into your comedy at all, or no?
Yeah, because I feel like seeing the dynamics, like, that's why I feel like, you know, it's funny when you hear people relate to just minorities, like black people as ghetto. And I'm like, bro, y'all have not seen ghetto. Like, there's ghetto in all spectrums.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what fucking trailer trash is?
Yeah.
Like, have you been to a trailer park? Like, yeah. That's some sad shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny how a lot of people be like, oh, the ghetto's bad, da, da, da. But it's like, where do you want to go hang out, though? You know, where are the clubs popping at? You know, where are the pretty girls at? You know, that's where they at. You know what I mean?
I don't go to clubs.
Well, shit, popping clubs, look at it. Look at L.A. That is not no squeaky clean area.
It's not,
that,
no.
That is a hood environment full of clubs that everybody loves going to.
See, but I grew up going to punk shows.
Really? Nice.
I was like, yeah, I was more of like, let me go see live music. Let me go see bands playing. I'm not somebody who dances a lot. So, like, a club's not my... I think the first time I started going to clubs was in Japan, which I think I did it wrong.
Ooh. In Japan?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. Except I don't remember... I remember going into clubs, but I remember getting really drunk, and I don't remember anything else, so...
Oh, wow. Wow. So you probably... Wow. Wow. Interesting, Steph.
Ah. We talked about this. Everybody's like...
He was in the military, though, so yeah. I forgot. Huh? So,
yeah.
Okay. That's pretty dope, man.
No.
What were you, like, intelligence?
No. I was communications, but I was... It was called, well, network specialist, so, but I fixed computers. Fixed a lot of computers for the Intel department and stuff like that, but, like, because I had clearance to do so. Right. But I went in for the Marines. They give you 3 options for jobs, and hopefully you get one of those, but one of my options was communications. And fixing computers for Marines means I never want to fix computers again. Oh, it's how I met my ex-husband, because he was so bad with computers. So.
Oh, shit. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we can't live without you guys, but we can't live with you motherfuckers forever. We can't.
No. And now he has somebody else fixing his computer, so it's fine.
But, yeah.
Okay. And the last joke is you're talking about sharks and why you don't want to go swimming.
You know what I'm saying? I'm serious, man. Like, imagine a brother like me and this brother right here getting in the water. Sharks gonna eat us up like a motherfucker, look like black seals and shit. Swimming in the water, man.
Oh, swimming.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had a bad experience when I was 13. Bad experience.
What was this experience?
Oh, man, I used to be a daredevil, but everything ended when I turned 13 for some odd reason. And I'm talking about all my daredevil stuff, like all that shit ended. That was my last experience at 13, bam. So my first one was freaking roller coaster.
Okay.
Got on Supreme Scream at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
Got on that shit, thought I was the bravest guy. Was clowning the shit out of my little baby sister that I was not on it with. When that shit drops, I'm going to tell you right now, all my bravery, my spirit, that shit left too. It dropped too. And I'm going to tell you right now, it never came back. I seen it go away. That shit floated the hell away, okay? I never seen that part of AJ again.
Got okay? it.
That was my first experience. My second experience was in the water. My two biggest fears now, heights and motherfucking water. Well, anyways, I was at the beach, 13, again, with my freaking crush, my neighbor. She was like 19 years old.
Okay, this is, yeah.
I'm with her and her older cousin and my baby sister. Daredevil that I am, I'm on a boogie board. Got a scrap to my arm. I'm out there hitting the motherfucking waves. Hitting the waves like motherfucking, right? So as I get out there, I'm like, cool, I'm going to go a little further. I'm cool. I know what I'm doing. I'm only like 4'11". I know what I'm doing. So I hit another wave, but apparently I went too far because the wave was coming backwards instead of going this way.
Oh, no.
When I looked this wave was still coming this way. So I'm like, okay, this is odd. This don't look right. So both of the waves hit me. I go under the water for a few. I come back up because of my boogie board, and I'm looking out, and I don't see land.
Oh, no.
So now I'm paranoid. I'm shaking, and now I'm trying to get on my boogie board because I can't see land. But as I turn around, You know that thing that blinks that tells you that big buoy, that red thing?
Yeah.
That tells you you're out too far? I was right by it.
Oh, shit.
So when I seen that, all I could think of was shark and all kind of crazy big creatures that will swallow my big ass, my little ass. So when that happened, again, my soul stayed at that buoy. I never seen them again. I floated back to shore, and that was it.
And then now you say that you won't go swimming because you look like a black seal.
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. They get us first. They get us first. They I do. Can't.
I love that your life changed at 13, never to be the same.
Yes, never to be the same.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That is so funny. So did you drive your teachers crazy in school? Were you like the class clown? Oh, man.
I believe I did because part of my life, my dad used to drop like little black history and, you know, and other history books off to school.
Okay.
And drop them off with me. So like periodically, I would read them. So we would have like my biggest thing was history. I love history.
Okay.
You know, I love history. So that's one of my biggest things I'm into. One of my big interruptions always came around African, you know, African studies.
Oh, goodness.
The little portion that they gave us, you know.
That month of classes? So,
That
month of classes?
Yeah. So during that portion when we were learning about Dr. King, you know, they were speaking on, you know, how the I have a dream speech and all this. You know, that was the greatest thing and all that, you know, so on. One of his greatest speeches. And I just remember a book that my dad gave me that, you know, emphasized on more of the efforts of after the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
You know, that tells you about the great atrocity, you know, being a part of the I Have a Dream speech and how there's more to the story, systemic racism, so on and so forth. That was all disclosed after Martin Luther King met Malcolm X.
Yeah.
When they got close together, that was something that the government was like, okay, this is crazy. This is insane. These are two powerful black young men, and they're both intelligent. For them to unite, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, that was the further knowledge that Martin Luther King, you know, said. So my teacher said something, and I just raised my hand. And I was like, you know, that's not true. You know,
oh, goodness.
I was that guy. You know, I was like, no, that's not true. You know, and if I knew we were gonna talk about this on consecutive days, I'd bring the book too.
Oh my god!
Like, no, it says right here that I Have a Dream speech was the greatest atrocity. The greatest atrocity. Define it. It says this and this and yeah, I was that guy.
See, but I kind of like. I love those students because you're like, okay, keep me on our keep the conversation going, make it so it's interesting. I love it.
Right.
I don't show that I Have a Dream speech. I mean, we talk about it, but I think kids hear it every year. There's a speech that he gave to a middle school. And it's about, oh my gosh, I completely blanked on it. But it's like the how to like live your life. Such a good speech. But he gave it to middle schoolers.
Oh, okay.
And it's, I'll have to find it and send it to you because there's things that he says in it you're just like, okay, it's so motivational and it's like,
Okay. That's good. Well, that's dope. Especially something dedicated to school kids, man. I like that.
Absolutely. I think it's like, I Have a Dream is an amazing speech. It did amazing things. It stood for an amazing like cause. But there's so many things that people focus on. Like, this person did this one thing. And it's like, he did so much more than that one speech and that march. And there were so many other marches. Right. There were so many other sit-ins that get left out.
Yeah.
Because everybody raises the magnitude of one thing so high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. So it's crazy.
So, okay. So you've been doing this for a couple years. If a newer comic came up to you and said, how do I get into comedy? Not including during COVID, what would you tell them?
Honestly, I would love to. I know everybody, you know, not everyone's prone to like just give you a joke right off the hand. I would just like to talk to them to see their mindset.
Okay, so the same as your motivational stuff.
Yeah, like it's just I want to get to know you a little bit because I don't like to be if especially if it's just interpersonal. If it's me and you, I want to know you before I just start, rambling off, because that's going to be ignorant. What am I motivating?
Got it.
When I'm speaking to a group of people, you know, it's more broad, it's more based, it's more general, you know, therefore it's not the pressure of just me and I, you know, focus on one person. But when it's me and you, I want to know you. Yeah, I want to know. Therefore, I know where to grab you, okay. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a psychologist, nor do I major in that, but I'm one person that has a keen sense for people, especially if you're right in front of me.
Got it. So what is your writing process? Are you somebody that walks around with a notebook? Do you sit down and give yourself like so much time?
I believe my phone is my notebook.
Okay.
And my mind is a ticking tock that doesn't stop.
Okay.
So at any random moment, I can see something and I'm like, oh, snap. And I put in a reference, if not the entire joke in the phone.
Okay.
And just keep pushing.
Do you write your jokes down verbatim or do you just give yourself an idea?
It depends on the joke.
Okay.
It depends on the joke because there are certain punchlines that I don't want to forget. So I'm going to write that down so I don't forget. And then there are certain jokes where you can actually use that punchline and then, you know, change the versatility to it, you know, depending on the crowd.
All right.
So, yeah.
I like it. And I have one more question.
All right.
And a kind of it. I've enjoyed chatting as always. What is your end game in, I guess, well, between comedy and the producing and acting and your skits and all of that stuff? Where do you want to see all of that take you?
As far as end game,
mm-hmm.
End game is going to be when my Lord and Savior takes the breath out of me and says, I can't do nothing. You know, that's going to be the end game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see myself being an old man still saying some wild stuff, you know, outlandish me until I die. That's me. Mm-hmm. I'm always have something to say. But your as far as where I want it to take me,
yeah.
Honestly, I want to be known for that guy that was fair as possible, that loved everyone and did everything in his power to be as versatile to people. And what I mean by that is being a jack of all trades and a master of some. You know?
That you added that some.
Yes. Because, you know, I don't believe that a person or human being is defined to one talent. I believe we have multiple talents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you just reach deep down in yourself and just looking at you as a person. You know, what do you have to offer? And me as a person, I just feel like I have a lot to offer. And, you know, as much that people can perceive and think, but, you know, I believe me being that light can change the perception of many minds.
Well, I love it. I can't wait for you to start running shows again. And
yeah.
Your shows feel like you're performing with family, so.
Hey, real talk, man. That's the comfort in my jokes. There we go.
That's what I love. I love seeing you out there. I love seeing you on stage. I love when I'm on shows with you or when I'm at your shows or you're at mine. So
when the world reopens. And when I do get something, I will reach out to you.
Oh, please do. I can't wait.
Yeah, right. Definitely, man.
Well, thank you so much.
And hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. It's always a blessing, especially for you, sweetheart.
Of course. Well, thank you. And bye, guys.
Peace.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with AJ. Had so much fun having it. So many laughs. I can't wait for everything to reopen again so his show start up again. Because genuinely, his show's so much fun. It's like performing with family. And the food is always good. So can't wait for that. Want to make sure to give a shout out to Dave the Prophet for providing the music. His beats were provided by Curtis King. As always, I am Stephanie Michaud. This has been Finding the Funny, and I hope you enjoyed.
I told my mama on the phone, it ain't no check to check. No more Honda Civics, baby, time to whip that back. Lyrics, beats, and the hooks, I'm a triple threat. Glow up on my Jesus piece.
now I'm living blessed. Looney Bin, BYU, you know we down to ride. Try to kill me with this mic, suicide. Since I got on man, all I hear is fucking lies. More money, more problems, fucking certified. Doja Cat, throw it back. David blowing back, blowing up on Super Saiyan. But I'm fucking holding back. Never stop until I put my fucking city on the map. 3 a.m. on Ocean Air, put the pedal to the max. Fresh
Prince. Oh, man. I've been doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of porn, you know, a little bit of reading, a little bit of school.